Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Daniel is driving tonight on a plane.
That's Sir Elton bringing us back 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one from my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. John Berlau is our guest, our good friend, 13-year member of our Brain Trust, senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. You can find the work in his writings there at CEI.org. John, thanks again for being here. Congratulations again on your awesome new book, George Washington, Entrepreneur, How Our Founding Fathers' Private Business Pursuits Changed America and the World. And boy, howdy, is that the truth. John, when I think about what you pointed out about how he branded things himself, I mean, branding was like something, you know, nobody was, I mean, even if they did it, they didn't realize what was going on. But when we understand that intellectual property was one of the earliest assets protected by in the new government, it had to emanate from Washington and people like that who recognized the power of a brand. What do you think? That's a very entrepreneurial thing to do.
That is, and he, not only that, when he was in the Virginia, in fact, this is one of the ways he was able to do this, when he was in the House of Burgesses, the colonial citizen legislature in Virginia, he created a way that if your flower met purification standards,
right,
you could go ahead and go to the county courthouse and branded it. So as soon as that passed, I don't know how many others took advantage of it, he went to the Fairfax County Courthouse and branded it in a kind of similar to the way we do trademarking today. And then he was able to ship that flower with the G. Washington brand throughout the colonies and to the British West Indies and to Great Britain itself. And that may have been why he received the recognition for his leadership that was eventually chosen to lead the army that John Adams actually mentioned in nominating him to lead the Continental Army, Washington's independent fortune.
Right, and his independent streak and also his military background. So before he was ever at war with King George, he had a problem as an entrepreneur. The crown wanted to suppress his entrepreneurship, didn't they?
Yes, this is one of the things I really learned about in the book, that in addition to all the oppressive taxes, that even before that, you know, the Britain completely controlled the trade route, so they had to import and export, really couldn't do anywhere else from Great Britain, but they were discouraging any kind of domestic competition with British manufacturers, so they didn't want Americans building any factories. They had specific acts like the Iron Act, the Hatt Act, and the Wool Act that would ban or sharply restrict production of everything from clothing to carpets to even nails.
Yeah.
So that's why historian Woody Holton, who I quote in the book, calls, you know, the tax is really the straw that broke the camel's back. And Washington, in his letter to George Mason in 1769, worried that, he says, they could confiscate, quote, my manufactories if they keep doing this.
Well, yeah, and so we all think about the Stamp Act and the other things, the taxes on the tea and all that other stuff as you say those were the straws that broke the camel back. But a lot of people don't realize how repressive and suppressive the crown had been to these people, and they were just feeding their oats, right? The colonies were seeing the bounty that lay before them in this new country, and they could see that a lid was being put on them by the crown. And so, therefore, there was a revolt, right?
Yes, that led to the revolt. Certainly, I mean, and the Stamp Act itself, you had to use British stamp paper when you couldn't use paper made in the colonies. And there were Benjamin Franklin, for instance, had invested in 18 domestic paper mills. So they were really Great Britain, and I say some of my best friends of British wanted the colonies to be like an agricultural backwater, and the colonists like George Washington wanted different things. They wanted to do farming and manufacturing.
Well, and if you think about, if you know a little bit about history, and you know about the grueling war, the Revolutionary War, how grueling it was, he didn't have enough money, resources, His people weren't, his men weren't always paid on time. They froze to death, you know, in that one winter. And you understand why his resolve didn't come from being, you know, we think about the modern, more modern military people, their resolve comes from, you know, duty to the core, duty. I'm a military person. I'm supposed to defend the Constitution. He didn't have a Constitution to defend at that point. And so his resolve came from what he had experienced as a business owner, the repression, right?
Right, he did, and the fact that he made sure, I mean, the Declaration of Independence was, of course, important to him, and Thomas Paine's common sense. In fact, he sort of championed Thomas Paine, had a friendship with him before there was a falling out over the French Revolution in the 1790s, but he would frequently have Thomas Paine as his guest during the war, give books like Thomas Paine's Common Sense to the soldiers. Right. In fact, one of them famously was bloodied with a copy of Thomas Paine's Common Sense. So he recognized the importance of artists and writers. And after the war, I mean, they would visit him in Mount Vernon, and he would always pose, even if he had other things to do, like for a sculptor.
Right.
Inventors visited him, and he befriended one of the co-inventors of the steamboat. So he always recognized the importance of artists and writers, you know, during the war and as a private citizen and as president.
Right. Absolutely. So when we come back after the break, I want to talk about how he led, because some of the things he did, not just as a military person, but as president, he put people in certain places that have been very important to the future of this country, including Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton, the imprint he's had on us. And it was because Washington was willing to have people like that around him. And that's the sign of an entrepreneur, a leader. We're going to be right back with John Berlaw. The new book is called George Washington, Entrepreneur, right now, just now available.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.